RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
And now, it's the Better with Bourbon podcast with Brad Martineau and Deacon Palmer. Fast thinking and smooth drinking.
The views and opinions shared on the Better with Bourbon podcast are our own and those of our guests. Nothing we discuss should be taken as financial, legal, business, or gambling advice. Don't make investment, business, or betting decisions based on our conversations, as you should always talk to a qualified professional.
What's up, Mitchells? Welcome to the Better with Bourbon podcast. I'm your host, Deacon Palmer, and with me is Bradley J. Martineau, the founder and creative mastermind behind this endeavor. Bradley, this is our first episode. We have some stuff we're going to do tonight. We're going to run through a couple stories. We're going to talk a little bit of sports. We're going to talk some public policy. We're going to do some business and finance, a little bit of technology. We have our first friend of the pod. And we're going to open a bottle, do a little bit of drinking.
Do a little drinking.
Yeah, but since this is our first run, why don't you give a comment or two? What led us to be here tonight? What led to the Better with Bourbon podcast? What are we trying to accomplish with this thing?
The same thing we've been accomplishing, the last year or so when we meet every Wednesday. And we talk sports, politics, and tech. Especially AI. AI has been, a major force that's going on right now. And somebody very wise said, maybe you two should get in front of a camera and do this. So we said, why not? We'll just take our bourbons and move to in front of a camera. So here we are, and we're going
to
do it.
Yeah, who would suggest such a thing? Like, we need to do more talking, right? So, we're gonna introduce friends of ours. We're going to talk about our lives, what we're doing. We're going to talk a little bit about business. But big business around here. We're coming to you live from Indiana, Pennsylvania. And there's no bigger news right now here in our little town than what Coach Cignetti and the IU Indiana University from Bloomington, Indiana, what they did the other day. Now, Kurt Cignetti is one of the Indiana's finest and favorite sons. Brad knows him well. Where did you watch the game? What did you think of it?
Well, we started the pregames at our Martini Monday familiar spot, of course.
Martini Monday.
Yes. But then I ended up just watching the game right here by myself. I wanted to take it in, every moment of it.
All your best friends.
Yeah, exactly. Every one of them.
Yeah, I had to watch with the lady of my life. I will admit, I fell asleep there toward the kind of the first part of that second half. But she woke me up because she is a rabid football fan. There was a lot of yelling and jumping around, and she got me back involved. Right in time to see Mendoza do that fourth down play where he held himself over there, play for the ages.
Right? Yeah, the Mendoza line was crossed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, we clearly, jokes like that, we're going to need to start doing some drinking.
But, well, I hear you. I mean, we need to get to the bourbon sooner than later. But yeah. Let's talk a little tech, too, what's going on. And obviously Davos in Switzerland right now is where everybody's meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Davos, World Economic Forum, happens every year. For those of you who maybe it's a new idea, Davos is basically a giant economic meeting full of global leaders, politicians, policymakers, CEOs from all of the Fortune 100, global think tanks, lots of large nonprofits. They get together to talk about how they are going to save us across the next year, what we need to be thinking about, what scares them. So there's a couple big obvious headlines coming out of Davos this year. It'd be impossible to talk about this without talking about what's going on with Greenland and kind of the political ramifications. Obviously, the European leaders are up in arms, showing some solidarity against the president's ideas about what we would do with Greenland if we got a hold of it. Bradley, jump in here. Give me some ideas. What are you thinking?
Before we get there, did I miss the memo that we're not doing right here for the podcast? I just wanted to make sure, because right now I feel like between the fire and the fro going, we got the heat miser walking onto stage and just taking over.
It's my homage to the Icelandic people. Show of solidarity.
So let's get back to Greenland. I don't know. Obviously, I think it's mineral rich. The big tech companies are investing heavily into it right now, so I think there's there's more at play than what meets the eye, and it's not as altruistic as it looks.
Yeah, I think of this thing, I think big picture, we've got to take a step back from the obvious objection that we can make to everything the boss is doing these days. And remember, we got Alaska in a particular way that called that Seward's folly because it was so stupid when he did it. Lo and behold, it's greatest acquisition of land our country ever made. We acquired Texas, Tejas from Mexico years ago, both of these really strategic purchases. So, I'm not sure whether right now is necessarily the time for us to be making big plays, but it's certainly not unprecedented, and there's a lot of economic justification for why something like that would make sense. So we're tracking it. We're following it. Jury's still out on this one, yeah?
What's it going to cost? I said just put it on our tab.
Yeah, right. Well, that's actually a good question. If you were a resident of Greenland, there are 50,000 of them. What would the number? What would the number be for you? Let's assume that you would have in Greenland what you have here. Okay. I would imagine that your spread in Greenland would probably be acres large. Oh, you have a castle built out of ice cubes.
I would think. And it's mineral rich. And now we know it's mineral rich. So
What would the number be?
Well, I think the number in my background coming from the oil and gas, attorney in me, I'm saying it's not a one-time number. It's an upfront number. And then I want a royalty on everything that's taken out of the ground.
See, now you're talking.
Right?
Yeah, now you're talking. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. You know what? This actually makes for a great opportunity for us to maybe take a quick time out, but then bring in our first ever guests with
dear friend
of the show,
dear friend
of the pod.
Yeah, his company is our first sponsor.
We're proud
to have him here, and
we'll come back with some bourbon.
And he's brought a bottle of bourbon, and we're going to talk about that too.
Yeah, right. So you mentioned oil and gas. Maybe you can chip in on a little bit of this. Okay, but quick time out. We'll come back soon.
Sponsor, SkyPoint Crane. Their crew is trusted with the biggest lifts in America. Power plants, stadium builds, and even the NFL. Honestly, they can probably hoist a full bourbon barrel before breakfast.
All right, folks, we're back, Better with Bourbon. We did a little bit of kibbutzing, covered a couple topics.
A couple drinks.
Definitely need a drink at this point. So we got a bottle out, but before we get into the bottle, want to introduce the gentleman that brought it, our first ever guest on Better with Bourbon, Dave Brocious. Dave, join us.
Welcome to the set.
Awesome. Thanks, fellas.
Yeah. Nice to see you.
Thanks, Bradley. Thank you.
Thanks so much for bringing the drinks here. Yep. We got you one here. We just do a quick cheers.
Yeah. Cheers.
Let's just do this. First time ever.
Salute, fellas.
We're making.
Congrats on your podcast.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you. It's good to be here with you. Appreciate you reaching out too. You and I have been friends for quite some time now, and we met back in the day when the kids were playing ball. And haven't looked back since. I mean, we're on a normal text chain every day. If we don't see each other, we're certainly staying in touch, that way. But you got big things going on. Let's get right into it. I mean, with SkyPoint Crane and everything else going on, you're in the right spot at the right time, made some good moves. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, just from an entrepreneurial standpoint, it's just one of those things where you try to position yourself at the right time and fate, and sometimes you make a decision and you're not sure that you're going down the right path. And one of them was, when we decided to start SkyPoint Crane late 2016, early 2017, coming out of working in the Marcellus Shale industry, and different clients and stuff that I met with, my partners, that we were talking with, one of my best friends, Brett, we sat down, and different folks, you should start a crane company. I'm like, you're out of your mind. Why would we do that? And Marcellus industry was down, gas prices were down, and
didn't Brett know you were a quarterback in high school?
Yeah.
You weren't a receiver, you dropped shit.
Right, exactly. I threw it. Exactly. He was too. That's crazy.
Like, how does somebody get into the crane business? Did you have like a starter crane before you got into the crane business, or somebody's like, yeah, you should just go buy a crane? Like, how does that? You mentioned, how's that conversation play out? Like, why?
It was wild. I was at a luncheon with one of our clients in the Marcellus industry. I worked for the Regional Trade Association, and he was a CFO at a major crane company at one point. Now he was a service provider in the oil and gas in the Marcellus. And we're just having lunch, just talking, just like we are here. And he goes, you should start a crane company. I'm like, you're out of your mind, right? Didn't think anything of it. 2 or 3 weeks later, I meet my friend Brett for lunch. He's a general contractor, been in construction for 25 years. And we're...
And just so everybody knows, what were you doing before that? You were digging ditches? Taking photographs? I mean,
I was working at a regional trade association.
Singing telegrams.
Yeah, exactly. So it was the Marcellus Shale Coalition. They were one of the founding trade associations when the unconventional oil and gas hit. Brad, you're ultimately familiar with that, with the law firm that you came out of. One of the early pioneers in oil and gas and, you know, from the land
side. Yeah, we used to represent that association back in the infant days,
yeah.
I should say.
So, anyways, worked there, you know, previous to that was in the automotive industry with PPG. So I had a lot of industry background. So I didn't, you know, really register, you know, the guy that told me there at lunch. So I met with Brett, had a lunch, and he was just talking about his challenges, general contractor, small business. You know, he was growing and saying, hey, I'm having problems. The micro story, there's not enough electricians, not enough plumbers, not enough crane companies. I can't find vendors and contractors. And kind of drawn on a map or a little napkin, hey, these are some niches that I think are going to develop even more from a construction standpoint. We should look at starting companies in these various niches around the construction side. We should start a crane company. And I'm like, well, that's weird. I just heard that 2 weeks ago. Like, and then it just kind of like your podcast. Like, well, why not? You know, we only live once. Got to take some risk. I've been hearing that.
Calculated risk, though. I mean, when you're hearing it, I think, you know, there's something to it, right? And
absolutely.
Especially when you're hearing it from, you know.
People in the industry.
People in the industry that are familiar with it.
Yeah.
Long-term contracts has a nice zing to it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So there's no heavy industry you don't touch, and you've done some really fun stuff too. Like,
yeah.
Tell us about some of the fun stuff that you found yourself, you know, lined up with.
Yeah. So some different events that we've been involved in, as well as customers. Probably one of the most memorable was back in 2020. You know, I was exposed to some of the folks in the political world, you know, with the trade association we were with. So we had Donald Trump at one of our, you know, shale forums in Pittsburgh. He came as a speaker. And so I got to meet different folks that were in the political, you know, side of the business, which I had never been involved in before. So it was a learning experience for me.
Tell us when you had coffee with Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, that was never. That was never.
Right. That must be.
Not being from oil and gas. Yeah. She's not a lover of the oil and gas industry. So we, anyways, 2020 election comes around. And somebody that I had met through my oil and gas days had my phone number and said, hey, we're doing a rally with President Trump. We're coming to Butler Airport. So this was his first trip to Butler, right, before this past summer. So this
not the one where he was
shot at, right? So this was at the Butler Airport. And he said, hey, we need cranes to fly the flags behind the stage at a presidential rally.
I thought it was to bring his ego in.
Yeah, great.
That's wild. Been. So you actually
need a bigger crane.
You actually got hired to raise the flag up behind.
So your crane company was the ones hoisting those flags that is so memorable. And in fact, I think it's still on some of his social media sites.
Yeah, if you go to Donald Trump's personal Twitter or X profile, the background of his X profile, and this is just something that I feel honored by and I tell my kids about, like, you know what, this is something that you can never have taken away from you, and I feel proud of what we've done. The employees and, you know, the folks in our company. But his background on his ex profile is of that Butler rally. The sunset was spectacular that night. It was Halloween night, October 31st, on a Saturday. Beautiful night. They were bringing in helicopters flying in. It was a spectacle. It was an entertainment show. It was unbelievable.
This isn't the first time you've been honored with something like that. You know, you're picture was my back and screensaver on my computer for about.
I'm sure it was
for about 2 years.
I'm sure it was making all the memes that you do.
This is going to be a recurring theme. This makes you want to say thank you, Pennsylvania, for taking such nice care of us.
I'm no,
you
I mean,
picked up Pennsylvania.
No, here's to Pennsylvania. I mean, Pennsylvania, we are very fortunate, and we will be talking about a lot of the cool things that come from Pennsylvania, including Mr. Palmer here. I'm not originally from Pennsylvania. I think you are, David.
Yeah,
you grew up
right in this area,
yeah.
Indiana County.
Yeah, right. right up in the, you graduated with how many?
120 in our class.
Wow.
Small school.
Well, it's
Metropolis here.
That's, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, from over in Latrobe, over, you know, closer to the big city where I'm from, we used to make fun of you guys. You were like a small school. Someday when we talk about the glory days, we can talk about when we came over and used to play Indiana, and you can talk about the basketball. What was your sport in high school? You're a football guy?
Yeah, I was a football guy.
Yeah, football.
Yeah. We didn't have a lot of options at the school I was
Uncle into. Rico, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah. Quarter mile. Absolutely.
That's great. But so you did a little bit of work with the U.S. Open this past year,
yeah.
And you're going to be involved with some of the setup and the heavy stuff associated with the draft coming up in Pittsburgh
yeah.
in the spring.
Yep.
Man, who knew being in the crane business was so sexy? I mean,
it's very sexy.
Next thing you're gonna, so good. Brad's gonna be writing a book about how to use AI to make cranes more efficient.
That's awesome. I would welcome.
Could be out next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the U.S. Open. I actually have to thank Brad and my other buddies, Tucker. It really kind of got me exposed to that. My son Drew is an avid golfer. I was not. We didn't have golf in my high school, so he's, you know, a golfer here at the club that you guys are also members of. And Brad and Tuck were like, "Hey, you need to get him involved in the Western PA Golf Association, Tri-State Golf.
Definitely.
He
totally.
Wants to play tournaments." I was totally unaware of all of that. So, hey, you guys said, "Hey, sign him up for it." So I signed him up for it. I started getting emails. Hey, Tri-State Golf is doing a youth night at Oakmont. Right, Drew, this is an awesome opportunity. I've been there, played there with clients when I worked at PPG. So we go down, you know, a buddy of his dad, we go down, have a fantastic night at Oakmont. How can you not? The kid's never been there before. To walk through the halls of Oakmont, it's a museum, right? And just those kids were just in awe. So while we're there, this was in 24, you started to see there was paraphernalia around the club. Merchandise shop was populated with, you know, U.S. Open 2025 in Oakmont. So didn't think anything of it other than telling those boys, hey, you need to sign up as a volunteer. It'd be a great experience. You were both on the high school golf team. This would be awesome. Go home, take in the night thinking, hey, this is awesome. Next morning, wake up. I go into work mode. I'm sitting down with a cup of coffee, and I'm like, well, heck, they're going to need cranes. They're literally, because I've been to the Open before when it was at Oakmont. They're going to build a city around this golf mm-hmm. course. So I started thinking like an entrepreneur. They're going to need cranes. They're going to be offloading equipment. They're going to be building hospitality tents, everything, generators, HVAC units. So I'm thinking, all right, how do we do this? So I literally went, the card that I took had like info@usopen2025.org, a generic email box that I just sat down, wrote a cold email at 5 in the morning.
That's too good.
Senate.
That's amazing.
Hey, local company, was at this event at Oakmont last night with my kid, saw you're coming, we'd like to offer our services, you know, please give us a call, we're fans of golf. Just made it, like, family friendly.
Amazing.
9 o'clock that morning.
Next morning?
No, that same morning.
Oh, same
I sent
morning.
It at 5 in the morning. Oh. I get a call from
What were you doing up at 5? You gotta go to the bathroom?
Coffee, yeah. Yeah. You get older, you have to.
Yeah.
So I get a call. I see this number coming out of Philly. He's like, hey, this is so-and-so. I'm the operations manager for the U.S. Open with the USGA. And I literally fell out of my chair. I'm like, that is so awesome. And then it just snowballed from there, and we got in.
Here's
got
to that.
Into the Open.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Great takeaways
and
there.
Kudos to the USGA reaching out. I mean, you were a big help. I know you sent me pictures as you were
yeah.
working on the biggest of the grandstands, and that was on number 13, and that
yeah.
was quite the feat because of the elevation changes.
Yeah, it was called the Suites on 13, so it was a par 3, and the hospitality building, basically, that they built started at the front edge of that tee box at the par 3, went clear up to the right edge side of the green. So it spanned the entire length of the fairway, and it was a double-decker suite. So he said, we've built a double-decker suite earlier at Pinehurst, and I think they had like 20 suites in it or 15, and he goes, USGA just like keeps getting bigger. Hey, can you build it bigger? Because they kept selling the suites out. So they had 42 suites, two levels. So that was the only two-level double-decker suite on all of Oakmont. 42 suites. And then, you know, he showed me what the price was, saying, hey, the entry price, you get whatever, 30-some tickets a day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
yeah,
parking, whatever. I think the starting price is like 180,000, 190,000 times 42. So you start doing the math and you're like, amazing.
Right.
And people were just so excited because golf is just such a great sport.
We were there Sunday and made great use of the structure that you built. Thank you, Rod Gretler, for the ride down. But yeah, that structure, the weather was horrible.
But the finish, absent
that sort of setup, being there for the finish never would have happened because it just wasn't. Being out and watching when you could be home, watch it. The calculus didn't make sense unless you had a building like that to go into. So we were there and we get to see it. We actually finished it in Permane's down at the bottom of the hill.
Perfect.
You should have seen the crowd in Permane's losing their mind. I mean, it was crazy. Probably more fun watching in Permane's than it would be actually Greenside because of the people that were there.
We were there that day, but we were one of the folks that went and bought another shirt out of the the merchandise tent. That got wet too. I'm like, all right, and the whole family's like, all right, we're going to finish this up.
Thank you, Pennsylvania.
I regret going home because I think that was one of the top major finishing holes on the final putt without going into any kind of, sudden death play. Wow.
Yeah, and who thought they would ever get the course right? Like, we were there. I was there with my son and his buddy, because we got tickets of being a vendor there. And when you see crews with squeegee in the fairways, squeegee in the greens, and it's 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and you're facing dark, I'm like, there's no way they're going to get this course ready to finish it.
They did, which was
amazing.
And it was beautiful. It was competitive.
It was unreal.
They made some incredible changes to Oakmont over the last few years that just make that course so great.
Guys, we got to take a break. We'll come back up, finish it up with a little bit more business. We'll talk a couple current events. Maybe Dave, you can chip in, give us your thought on a couple things. Yeah?
Absolutely.
All right. All right. We'll be right back.
Our sponsor, SkyPoint Crane. Their crew is trusted with the biggest lifts in America. Power plants, stadium builds, and even the NFL. Honestly, they can probably hoist a full bourbon barrel before breakfast. Our sponsor, SkyPoint Crane. Their crew is trusted with the biggest lifts in America. Power plants, stadium builds, and even the NFL. Honestly, they can probably hoist a full bourbon barrel before breakfast.
Okay, we're back. Better with bourbon. The fire is raging. Our ice cubes are melting. We're doing a little bit of drinking. So we're going to talk a little bit through... We're going to talk through a couple of topics. We have some local expertise here on the show when it comes to all things AI. So let's touch on AI. Bradley, what's going on in the AI world? What are you seeing?
Well, one of the major headlines this week is OpenAI. Sam Altman. The concerns are there with OpenAI, ChatGPT is they're going to run out of money again and going to have to go back to their investors for more money.
So when we say they're going to run out of money, what are they doing with the money? What do they need more money for?
Well, they're investing heavily in everything, infrastructure especially.
So building data centers.
Building it out, right? Yeah. So I don't see that being a problem, personally. Microsoft's a 28% owner in the company. They're not going to let it fail. Then you got SoftBank being the next biggest, and then you get down the line of a few others that are very notable. They're all in, and ChatGPT is the standard in generative AI right now.
So this is like a too big to fail scenario.
I do think so because it's getting better, and they've made some great improvements. One of the things they just announced the other day that I thought was really cool is a wearable device that allows you to basically have AI interacting with you, not on a screen, not through voice, just in presence and being with you.
I could think of some things that I would like a AI presence to help me with throughout the day. It's
More so at night.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So what you're saying is to support these sorts of futuristic applications, we need a ton of compute, which means we need a lot of data centers, which means we got to move a lot of shit around. Any input? Any insight on this process?
Yeah, I've heard the same. You know, when you look at what they're trying to do, is it's going from just having an AI tool to getting into devices similar to Apple, having that strategy of having AI-enabled hardware. My wife's a nurse. She told me they're looking at like a ChatGPT that's geared towards the medical side of things. And then I've even heard the enterprise stuff where they're trying to take ChatGPT and take it to countries, not just corporations, where they're taking their model and saying, hey, we want to take it into a corporation. We want you to take this as part of your national strategy, which is interesting.
What do you think about that? Just big picture, good, bad, indifferent? What do you think?
Well, I think every country's trying to figure that out. When you look at the military side of things, the economic strategic play, you know, it just it's a different.
When you speak about that, our country just adopted Grok with Elon in the military, and I think Elon gave him. I think it's for free, but it's a pretty good enterprise price.
Yeah,
and it was very recent in the last few weeks. So AI is definitely getting embedded into all the geopolitical atmosphere. It's moving on so fast. I had some really cool meetings this morning about what's happening in the AI agent world and the mesh world. There's great things to come.
Well, so there's two things. So if you talk about OpenAI offering ChatGPT as a tool to a country, there's two things that immediately come to my mind is what are they giving, what are they getting, right? So they're getting the ability to train, right? There's two things that'll LLM, large language model, does, right? It's the training, it's figuring out how to interpret what humans want from it, and then there's the inference, which is telling humans what to do, right? So,
and why is the inference so important? Because that is all the knowledge they've gained, and they're now using that knowledge to give them the next answer.
Yeah. So why would they give it away to a country? Well, robust training data. Every time that model interacts with a kid in school, somebody at work, somebody at home trying to cook a recipe that they don't know, that's more training data. So it's not just a one-way relationship. And it raises some interesting questions about, like, when we're talking about edge data like that, data that's coming off of our phones and our appliances and our cars and stuff that we interact with every day. Like, right now the assumption is that the technology provider, the vendor, the LLM owner owns that data. And, you know, I'm a big believer that someday we as individuals have to own that, like we own our own healthcare data in the HIPAA, you know, the HIPAA sphere.
I mean, they're doing that right now.
Well, that's optimistic. But my latest book that I get into, I forecast a whole different future in 10 to 15 years. Data, it becomes a new currency. And data is it. So by doing that in embedding big tech, and I call it big tech because it's the top 5 to 10 technology companies that are embedding their data sources in everything we do, whether it's this podcast, whether it's your crane company, whether it's
any company,
right? Schools, government, it doesn't matter. Every little bit of data registers and becomes so important in the algorithmic state that.
Well, and that's from what I've understood of looking at it is the GPTs, right? So you have ChatGPT that's used by the everyday user, you know, the common, you know, everyday individual user. But you can get the enterprise version of ChatGPT for, let's say, Better With Bourbon becomes its own corporation, or SkyPoint Crane. From what they're saying, if you sign up for those enterprise models, is that you own that data, and it says explicitly on the screen, because I've signed up for some of them, we are not going to use your data. If they connect to your Google Drive and they want to look at your internal documents, that's what they say. No, so this is the trust part.
No, but this you don't say, look what they say. You look what they're giving you in your vendor agreement, your third-party agreement. And as a lawyer, I'm saying that's where you have to look at is where is your data going? Correct. So if you're on the enterprise level where you're going not just for the free mode, which most people are, But if you're going to the enterprise mode, usually it is a closed system, and it's right. going to be...
But that would be the same for these countries.
Yeah,
my
understanding...
They're not going to want their data being used.
And they're not normally going to be.
My understanding is that it's anonymized. That data is used for training, but it's anonymized, and it's never attached back to the individual, which
but if they break that sacred vow, they're done. Their brand is destroyed.
Well, and one of the things that Sam Altman has asked for at OpenAI, and I actually wrote an article about six months ago, is that there needs to be a uniform privacy law applicable to AI so that the user that is inputting and thinking that they're just talking one-on-one with the chat GPTs or the co-pilots or the Gemini, that their information isn't going to show up on Google.
Yeah.
It's not going to be used in a civil or a criminal case. God forbid they're doing something wrong.
Right.
But that's a confidential information going back and forth.
It's like
that
attorney-client privilege.
It is.
If Apple can be compelled to unlock a phone, what would stop Google and Gemini or OpenAI and GPT from reverse engineering somebody's comments before they went on a murder spree and, you know.
And that's going to be tested by time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, this raises some really interesting questions about what I think really drives this. This is no longer a technology question. This is a question of the delicate interplay between individuals' rights to their own data, then national rights when you talk about what AI, and we talk about how AI and edge data could create mobility and bring costs down for freight and some of the economic boom associated with that, how that conflicts with states' rights. Mm-hmm. And when we have a situation right now where we have one party in charge of all this stuff, there are some inherent conflicts that's keeping progress from happening on the AI, particularly when it comes to AI across state lines and the right to regulate AI. Is that a states' rights issue? Should it be a national strategy? Should it be like banking where we have kind of a half-see approach? I don't know. I think the answer, but something has to happen because nothing's happened yet.
Oh, we're at a breaking point.
Yeah.
And the Trump administration put down just a few weeks ago with their executive order that they're going to take control of this, and it is a national security issue in the AI race. It is not a state issue, and they're gonna litigate it. So we'll see what comes.
Yeah, this is definitely something we're gonna come back to big time, because this is a topic that we have a lot of our own personal irons in the fire on. I got some work. Brad's writing a book a day on the topic. So let's take a quick time out. We'll come back and we'll sew this up with one more topic and some send-offs here on our inaugural Better with Bourbon podcast, baby.
Cheers.
Cheers, boys.
Sponsor, SkyPoint Crane. Their crew is trusted with the biggest lifts in America. Power plants, stadium builds, and even the NFL. Honestly, they can probably hoist a full bourbon barrel before breakfast.
All right, we're back, Better with Bourbon. We're going to make a fast and furious sprint to the close. Brad's got some announcements he wants to make about just general show notes. Bradley?
Yeah, I think there's a couple people we need to definitely shout out that are very special, near and dear to our hearts and to our feet.
To our feet.
Yeah, to our feet. We got bourbon-infused socks.
Bourbon-infused socks.
Yeah. Thanks. Could not find the bourbon-infused underwear yet. Maybe later tonight. But, the socks are here. They do smell very nice. They smell like bourbon and kind of like vanilla. Or is that just you? Is that you?
Between the socks and the fire, the feet are toasty. And you guys at home listening might have just heard a voice come from the ether. What was that?
Voice? Oh, that's the third part of our crew. And we would not be where we are without him. He is the guy behind the lights, behind the film.
Perry.
That's Perry Meir and,
cheers,
you know...
Our one-man production.
Yeah, he is our one-man production.
And, well, you guys see the final
and you're beautiful, Perry, just as you are.
He is
beautiful. Yeah, that'll have more meaning later on, I'm sure.
No, it has meaning right now.
Yeah, we're gonna get Perry infused, speaking of infused, into the conversation here in coming weeks. We're going to have him give opinions, hot takes,
Reactions.
On what's going on in the world. So now we got. Let's finish with a little bit of happiness. We're happy. We're drinking. We're talking about fun stuff. We introduced our fun team. We got a fun buddy here. Let's talk about the market. The market's fun, Brad. What's going on in the market?
The market's been incredible, right? Just every time you think it's going to be a bubble, it just keeps going up. And one of the areas that have gone up and up, and you called it a year and a half ago, and I got to give credit where credit is due. Commodities, especially silver.
Commodities are flying. Yeah,
you were spot on with silver, and clearly silver has a very special need now, more so than ever, with the AI world humming. There's a lot of need for silver, as well as copper. You get into all the different commodities.
Platinum, palladium,
they're all zinging.
Yeah, silver is really interesting because it's the most conductive of all the metals. It's the one that carries electricity the fastest.
I think you should be a sponsor for silver with that silver hair. You've had this since your junior year in college at Wake Forest.
Well, yeah, I'm conductive. It carries a dual role, right? So it's a monetary metal. We used to use it in dimes and quarters. We don't do that so much anymore.
I've gone through my old ones though. I think they're worth more than they used to be.
Yeah, right. If you melt them down, and you know, right. But see, that's the problem. That was the first time we started. We started printing money, so to speak, when we took 10 cents of silver and, you know, turned it into 7 cents of silver that we allowed to represent 10 cents, and now there's no silver in our silver anymore. So,
yeah.
So they call it a monetary metal along with gold, but at the same time, it's very conductive. It's used in solar panels and everything. But, yeah, if only somebody had told our friend group here in Indiana to buy silver back when it was, you know, trading at 13, 15, 25 bucks. We might hit 100 bucks an ounce here coming up. Now, here's something. We're going to do some predictions here because we're going to come back, and next week we might talk a little bit more about what we think is going to happen over the next year. Right now, the silver to gold ratio is stretching down toward historic lows. It was at historic highs about 2-3 years ago, and it had to revert. So
gold's stretching out too.
Yeah, gold. Yeah, well, gold for obvious reasons. I mean, everybody's afraid if we're going to take Greenland, if we're going to take Venezuela, if we're going to take all the chips out of China, which I think will be next. Right, there's you know, who knows, that could be a hedge.
That's a bold take.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we might just go take a time ourselves. Oh, right? Yeah, right.
Maybe we can buy China.
Yeah, right, man. All right. So
the credit's good.
But yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about what we think might happen for the year next week. And maybe we could tease a couple of other future kind of topics. We're going to talk about NIL.
And we do have NIL coming up. Yes. You and I have some hot takes on that.
Yeah, and we got a good buddy we're going to bring on that's going to you know, enlighten all of us. He knows far more about it than any of us who are just speculators and agitators, right?
More on behalf of the NIL collectives than anybody in the nation. So we're going to definitely have him on.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So with all that said, here's to Better with Bourbon, because everything that we talk about is always
cheers.
Better with Bourbon.
Absolutely.
And Better with Friends.
Absolutely.
Thank cheers. You
until next time.
Thanks for watching.
Appreciate
like and subscribe.
It.
The views and opinions shared on the Better with Bourbon podcast are our own and those of our guests. Nothing we discuss should be taken as financial, legal, business, or gambling advice. Don't make investment, business, or betting decisions based on our conversations, as you should always talk to a qualified professional.
Podcast with Brad Martineau and Deacon Palmer. New episodes drop weekly. Be sure to subscribe or follow.
Who the fuck are these two?
But you can do it. Come on, Sam. Oh, I'm Brad Martineau.
Oh, you know you're making an impact across America. Not America.
We haven't even recorded an episode yet. We already
recorded an episode. We're already getting negative comments.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I had one that just said, fuck both of you.
You should reply. What are you
looking at? Then I didn't know Beavis and Butthead still had a podcast.
But I mean, is it on the...
Well, you only got a few. That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, it's
Better with Bourbon.
It was on the one I advertised for Deacon when he was in his Dexy Midnight Runner's outfit.
Considering...
Prestige Worldwide.
Fucks it up!
But we gotta do a Beavis and Butthead.
And then the last one was... I didn't know Jeffrey Epstein's son for doing something.
Yeah, right.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.